Welcome to Live Well, Be Well, a show to help high performers improve their health and well-being. This is an excerpt from my conversation with Paul Carrot-Brunson, the global relationship insight expert at Tinder and host of Married at First Sight.
There are millions of people, men and women, who feel stuck, whether they're in the relationship or stuck because they don't feel like they can get into a relationship, but they feel stuck and therefore they feel hopeless. One of the first things that they can do is clap for themselves. You know why? Because if they are watching this, they've already made the first step, right? They're already being nourished, right? They already, through listening to everything that you're doing, they are learning, they're becoming aware of the challenges that they have. Awareness is where it all begins. The next piece is then to surround yourself with people who are, going back to attachment, people who are in a, who are secure, people who do have a high level of self-esteem and self-love, so they can better understand how it shows up. What are the behaviors? What are the behaviors of someone who has high self-esteem and actually and is happy? Like, you know, what is someone who's hopeful? How do they act? How do they show up, right? And what does that mean? That means literally making maybe new friends. Maybe that means releasing some of your existing friends. Maybe that means releasing, I know this is controversial, releasing some of your family members. There are family members that I have that I'm related by blood, but I have not talked to, and I will not talk to, most likely for the rest of my time on this planet, because toxicity breeds toxicity. And so it's very important for us to create a healthy environment, the context. So what we're listening to, the content that we're listening to, the people we're talking to, that's all the content. And then what you want to do is you want to move to instruction. What is instruction? Instruction can come from a professional like a therapist. Instruction can come from going onto YouTube and reading about meditation or journaling or exercising or all of the ways that we can increase our self-esteem. And it's important to be in a place of strength before we start making strategies on exiting or before we start making strategies on, okay, now I think I'm going to date. I think I'm going to get on a dating app. Well, remember, the best time to work on your relationship is before the relationship. So think about the context, the content. Think about getting good inspiration, getting good instruction. That's how you could begin to create the plan to get out of that place of feeling stuck.
Honestly, I think it's like one of those biggest things, because I think when you do feel hopeless, you're then trying to find the answer. And we kind of forget that it, I mean, it sounds so corny to say this, but like it lies within you. But I like it truly does, right? And it's hard work. I think also that's something that no one talks about. Everyone just goes, you've got to be at peace with yourself. I mean, I don't think anyone's truly ever, unless you're the Dalai Lama, at true peace with yourself, right? You always are going to be feeling something. I mean, it's a human experience. But I think feeling that strength of how you described it is so, so, so critical.
Yes, yes.
Feeling strong within yourself, because when you're in this hopeless situation, you don't feel strength.
And it's important to make more decisions from a place of strength. You know, you look at the number of decisions that we make on a day-to-day basis. It's like thousands.
Yeah, it's
right?
Mad.
And what we have to understand is that when we're making decisions, when we are not just, you know, low self-esteem, but even when you're hungry, like, whenever you're making these decisions, what you're doing is you're making poor decisions. And then those poor decisions over the long haul end up becoming a poor life. You know, there was a study in the US on judges and the sentencing that they gave. And what was fascinating is that as they looked throughout the day, the judges gave out, at the top of the day, the judges gave out, on average, the lightest sentences. And as they went into the middle of the day, the average time that they put these people in prison went up. Right at the middle of the day, it then went down, and then it started going back up. And you know why they found out?
I mean, the only thing I can think of, which is not going to be the answer, is because they were just hearing so many awful crimes. They were just going again, again, longer, longer. That's all I can think about.
It was even simpler than that. They were hungry.
Oh my God, hangry.
They were hangry. So as you got to the middle of the day, they were waiting for lunch. they, and so right before, so the worst time to go to see a judge is before lunch.
So anyone's going to go and do a criminal offense, if you get a court order, make sure it is just after afternoon tea.
Exactly. And you know what's wild about that? That applies to everything. So wow. You even think about, you're going to see a doctor. We have a little dog, a super little dog.
Not a Dachshund.
A Chihuahua.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, a Chihuahua. Amazing. He's super, super small. His name is Peter Gabriel.
I wish you brought Peter Gabriel here today.
All right. Next time I see, I'm bringing Peter Gabriel.
Bring Peter.
And he had, actually yesterday, he got surgery. Oh. And I was like, all right, we're booking the first thing. First appointment. The doctors, so in another study was done with doctors, and they looked at the percentage of time that doctors were sued for malpractice, right? And it goes up towards the middle of the day.
They're hungry.
They're hungry. So the best time to see your doctor, the best time to see anyone, right, is right at the beginning of the day. If you see someone right before lunch, it's over. It's done.
And you are really screwed if they intermittent fast. If you're an intermittent faster and you're a doctor, just don't bother.
You're done.
I mean,
it's a wrap. It's a wrap.
They've not eaten for 16 hours. They're going to be really hungry.
Yes. You need to do that study. Please. Yeah, do this study.
My mind is going. I now need to do an intermittent fasting with relationship to doctors.
Yes.
How are they diagnosing? But something you've mentioned there, and it is a book that changed my life. And I don't want to go into it because it's a whole podcast on its own, but I do need to touch upon it because I'm fully aware that people that are listening to this keep hearing attachment style. And they're probably like, why is she not answering Paul's question and relating what is attachment style? And I mentioned very early on that, you know, when conflict arrives, I want to run away, or I did. And I feel I still have that urge in me, but I'm trying to work on not running away. And it all comes down to understanding attachment styles. And when I read the book Attached, It genuinely changed not just my relationship with myself, but my relationships. When I met my partner now, I wanted to know attachment style. I wanted to know love languages and I wanted to know attachment style. Because I think that is such a key area on coming back to our original conversation of communication. Mm-hmm. Because we might not meet somebody who is secure. To say I did do my one recently and I came out of secure and I felt very proud of myself that I've done some work and we can all move there. Because I think when we're labeled, which is something that I'm not a fan of, we kind of feel that we're stuck there. Mm-hmm. But we can work to becoming more secure. And, you know, I might next month go back. But like, you know, it's that continuous awareness of how am I navigating this landscape where I'm acting out in a certain way. So can you just briefly explain what is secure and then what are the other attachment styles?
You got it. This is a topic that I've done a lot of research and work on.
Thanks so much for listening. To hear the full episode, there's a link in the description.